he gets girls into debt in order to push them into escorting.
I give him all the power over me. You cannot say no. He was even controlling my private life.
Welcome back to Offbeat. I'm Tommy McDonald. In today's episode, Shona River is going to explain how she was trafficked to America to work in the porn industry and as an escort illegally. It's an important story because this is something that's happened to hundreds, if not thousands, of women. And it's something that's happening right now. So please help me out and like this video, subscribe to my channel. We need to make sure lots of people see this video and put pressure on the porn industry to change. Before we get into the interview, I want to give you a bit of background and context. Shona River is a Hungarian former porn star that I've known for years. She told me a long time ago some of the things that happened to her, but it's only now that she's ready to talk about them. Off the top of my head, I could name maybe 15 or 20 women that almost the exact same thing happened to. No one's going to talk about this because most of the victims are worried that if they talk about it, then they'll get banned from entering the US. And that's on top of the fact that when you say something bad about the porn industry and you still want to work in it, it's career suicide. So in the interview, Shona's going to explain that the person that trafficked her is Derek Hay from LA Direct Models. While she was in the US, she worked for LA Direct as well as an escorts agency called The Luxury Companion. Here's a copy of Shona River's signed contract with LA Direct Models. I thought it was important to show you proof that this really happened. You can also see scenes that she shot in America, like the one she did for Blacked. And I've included a financial statement from LA Direct Models later in the video. The most important part of this trafficking story is that Shona River didn't have the correct paperwork to work in the US, in the porn industry or any other job. And most foreign girls that work in the US porn industry, they also don't have correct paperwork. Good agents will insist that they get a work permit before they can work in the porn industry, but many bad agents will allow them to work without documents. They might not think this is that bad, but what it does is it puts the girl under the complete and total control of the agent. She would always have the threat of deportation hanging over her, and who can she report him to if something goes wrong or she has a complaint? Like, she can't exactly go to the police when she's working there illegally. Shona will also say that she was sent to LA Direct by Pierre Woodman. This is nothing new. I've covered this extensively in another video all about Pierre Woodman. There's a link to that in the comments. Woodman openly admits to sending girls to Derek, but since my previous video came out, he started to backtrack a bit and say that he was just introducing someone to a friend, that it wasn't sex trafficking, definitely not sex trafficking. But in my opinion, when you introduce a girl to someone that traffics them, you are part of the sex trafficking. You are involved in that deeply. We need to know a lot more about what exactly the relationship was between Derek and Woodman. And there needs to be an investigation to find out exactly what happened between them. Derek Hay has been indicted by a grand jury in California for pimping and pandering. So hopefully in time, we'll find out exactly what Woodman's involvement was in that and if he broke any laws. Finally, I just want to say something about the porn industry, because it's not the porn industry that's trafficking these women, it's porn agent. But porn companies are allowing it to happen and they're making huge money from it. Porn companies could stop the trafficking overnight. All they have to do is start checking the visa, the work permit of every model they shoot. It's not even any extra work. They already have to check 2 IDs for every performer and have a load of contracts to sign. Taking a photo of someone's work permit is not a big deal. I've been looking through porn sites and I saw trafficked women on almost every single porn site I visited, even the ones that advertise themselves as ethical productions. I would argue that everybody in the porn industry knows there are many girls working illegally, and I would say that many directors actually prefer it because they want to work with girls that can't say no. You know, who they're going to complain to? And this has a horrible impact on the models that are working legitimately. So if you're an American model, you might be losing out on work. You might find that prices are lower because of the illegal workers coming in. And also there's more pressure on the American girls to do extreme activities because these other girls who can't say no, they're saying yes. So you could get labeled as difficult to work with because these other girls are saying yes to everything. But, you know, the American girls are saying no. I also want to say that it's not just European models that are being exploited this way. They're just the ones I know most about because of me living in Europe and being friends with many girls who have experienced this. There's also a huge number of Latin American models that go through exactly the same thing, maybe more, and also girls from other parts of the world. I hope that after seeing this interview, every porn company will start checking every work permit for every production they do. Let's see how many actually do that. We were talking about your experience working for LA Direct in America. Quite some time ago now, and I've already spoken about the problem of European women being trafficked to America, but I thought it'd be really good to get your experience with that because you lived through it. And I think hearing someone's personal story, it makes it more real for people. Because me saying, oh, this is how it works and how it happens, I think people don't connect with that as well as if it's like, this is what happened to me. I think it'd be just really interesting to hear your perspective on it, your feelings on what happened.
Feels like a bad dream, but back then it was quite intense. So I went to America in 2018, January, but I started my career 1.5 before that.
So you're still quite new, 1.5 in.
Kind of. In porn, that's not very new, but
true.
Kind of new.
Especially at that time, it was... People didn't have very long careers at that point, did they? Because there's no OnlyFans or...
Yeah, or it was already kind of... No, there was OnlyFans. But the problem was I registered because I like to feel stable and have more things going on for me. But I never actually got the money because I couldn't link my Hungarian bank account to it. It was only something like... USA, Canada, France, maybe even Italy.
Yeah, it was very
Finland,
new,
some
it?
Very random, like
it didn't
eight
even,
or 10 countries could
it didn't
link
even
their
work
bank
properly,
account.
I think, at that point. And people weren't making like serious money on it yet. Like maybe one or two people were, but most people not yet.
Yeah, so I give up very quickly because I never see any money from it. Yeah, back to the topic. So I started doing porn about like 1.5 before that. And I kind of liked my first year. I started shooting porn because I have a really high libido and I like to have sex. I like traveling. I wanted to try new things sexually and non-sexual thing, meet new people. But kind of after 1 year, I started to have bad experiences as well. So I had a fallout with my agency and I started just doing webcam with a couple.
I didn't know you fell out with your agency. What happened?
They started labeling me as somebody difficult because for me, it was not enough just to receive a literally one sentence long message that shoot tomorrow, boy, girl, this much money.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're unwilling to tell me which company is it, who would be the male or female performer, just... Nothing.
Yeah, and often it wouldn't be a company and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So they started labeling me as somebody difficult and they wouldn't give me good jobs. Also happened to me that I got an STD and as a responsible person, I informed my agent, Real Babes, really quickly that I got something and please inform my my partners who I shoot with. And she said, no, they're fine.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fishy for me.
Yeah.
And also, they forced me to have a really strong penicillin injection another time.
I remember.
Because certain people had syphilis. They tested positive for syphilis. And it's not even one, first one and two and then four people. But they wouldn't care to stop the shootings. They continued shooting every day. And then eventually they realized like, oh, shit. Then you know what? We just saved the situation by forcing everybody to go and have a penicillin injection. And then we don't even need to quit shooting one day. So we can make more money like that.
Yeah.
And I remember how bad it was for my body. And after I had so much problems.
Yeah, I remember it really messed up like your immune system and... I remember you having a lot of problems and you like kept trying different diets to try and get things back to normal.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then they would send me for they called POV shoots. That means a not good looking man with a video camera in a hotel room.
Yeah, and it will never even go on the internet.
And I would never have seen the video.
Yeah, so escorting, basically.
Discount escort, let's say.
Discount, yeah.
Plus, you are not even have sex with condom.
Yeah.
Because they have a test.
Yeah. I mean, it's wrong on so many levels. And there's no ID for the test. The test at Interlab, which is where it was. Literally,
the good old days.
Literally, you do the test yourself if you're a man. So you could literally just spit on it, wipe it, smear it on a slide and say, oh, that's my
for
test.
For us women, it was a proper testing.
Yeah, in the UK, when you get tested that old-fashioned way, a professional takes the swab. But at this clinic, you did it yourself. So if you're a guy and you're thinking, well, if I get a positive test, I'll lose work. So the incentive is just fake it, right?
Yeah.
I never did that because I'm a germaphobe and I was always paranoid as hell, like freaking out over tests. And I always preferred people to have like a test the day before or like, you know, really close to the wire testing. But I remember thinking at the time, like, this is so easy to cheat. Like, why? Who's enforcing this? Who's checking it's even the correct person walking in? Because you give ID the first time you come. After that, you just say your name. So, like, someone could come in and do a test for you if you couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, on Interlab, there was no photo.
There was a first one you did. You gave your ID, but I never saw anyone checking anything. Maybe they do, but I never saw anything. So I never had to like give my ID to prove it's me. Yeah, it was so bad.
And now it's improved so much. So even you can check the other person test with a simple QR code. That's quite great.
Well, even at Interlab?
No, but in talent testing.
Yeah, talent testing,
yeah.
So it sounds like at that time you loved doing porn and wanted a porn career, but you were disillusioned with
the
work.
Really felt safe.
Safe.
And I wanted to manage my own brand and I don't want to shoot for dodgy companies and not with professional people. I don't want to have sex with an average looking or worse than average looking man in a hotel room with a camera.
Which is understandable.
So then I had a fallout and then I did...
So you left the agency?
Not officially, but I just kind of...
Gave up,
yeah. I didn't go back after the penicillin injection because I didn't feel good.
Because I can't imagine you falling out with someone, like having an argument or something, just because you're very...
Yeah, very chilled, but it managed. And then after a long break, I was kind of thinking about, I like shooting porn and it was fun. I like to go for the shoots, but I don't really want to work with this agency before. And I started entertaining my idea to go to America, you know, because in America, everything is possible, right?
Yeah. And I think people like me, saying like, oh my god, the industry is so much better over there, probably played into that, which, you know, I still stand by that statement, but
you do,
it is better, but it still has a lot of problems.
It's further, so you're not aware of all those things
that's true,
going around.
That's true. And even in Europe, the bit of the porn industry I worked in was mostly quite nice, but it's like an iceberg. There's so much below the surface that you don't see unless you look for it. I guess the same in America.
Yeah, I can also only speak for myself because I would say my experience were mostly good, but probably I'm the few person who haven't had really, really, really bad things happening.
And that's because you said no to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like
when I get labeled that I am being difficult and picky.
Yeah. Difficult and picky.
For picking the companies and people I want to work with.
just for asking who you want to work
with. Going to be on the internet till the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Completely understandable. So what happened when you started thinking about America?
So a little bit more than a year after I started, I was thinking I should go to America, but it's so far away. Usually the girls who would go to America, they go through my Hungarian agency. But that was not an option because I stopped talking to them. And then my friend Pierre Woodman, he told me his best friend is Derek Hay, and he's amazing. He's the best Asian. He has the most stars. And he's going to treat you very well because you are my friend, and it's going to be amazing.
Mm.
But before I get in touch with him, I also contacted ATM LA.
Yeah, that's who Brill Babes worked with, I think. That was Shy Love at the time, I think, right? I can't remember. I think Shy Love is different. Maybe.
ATM LA is different. But anyways, they got back to me that if I'm not willing to shoot Ano movies, then they don't want to represent me.
Nice. At least they were honest, I guess.
Yeah, at least it was honest, so no hard feelings. It was really clear, no bullshit. They just said no, because then probably they cannot get enough job for me. So then I ended up contacting LA Direct, Derek Hay, and it was very short communication. He said, yes, I would love to have you, and we set the date when I would come.
And it was just as simple as that, like there was no...
Not too many discussion, and because he was the friend of my friend, I thought it's going to be all okay.
Mm. Was there any discussion about paperwork, about applying for a visa, for a work permit?
So they told me I need to apply for a simple ESTA, and there's a loophole in the system that if I go to America, I need to have two IDs to shoot, and one can be from anywhere else in the world, and one must be from America.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me there's the loophole in the system is I need to go to Arizona and ask for a temporary American ID.
Yeah, from the DMV. From the DMV,
yes.
Yeah.
And with that, and with my Hungarian passport, I could be shooting, and the money would arrive to his bank account, and after he would give it to me.
Yeah, so the loophole he was talking about, it was quite clear that this is not the way you're supposed to do it. We're tricking the system, basically.
Yes.
And did everybody know that? Like, did Woodman know that?
I didn't have anything else discussion with him. He just referred me to Derek.
Mm.
And from then, I just had the discussion with him.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm not even sure he explained to me that he would get the money first and after he would send it to me. But for sure, he just told me about the American ID thing.
Yeah. And I think for people that don't know, like that's, if you're filming porn in America, it's a legal requirement to have two forms of ID, and one of them has to be American. There's no legal requirement for porn companies to check if the model is legally able to work in America. So that means porn productions in America, they can hire illegal immigrants to work in porn, and they can hire trafficking victims. So if a girl has been trafficked internationally, there's no legal requirement on them to check her welfare. They can do it if they want to, but there's no legal requirement to check, which is quite strange, isn't it, really? It seems like they've put nearly a protection in place, but they haven't quite, you know?
It's like a frame rule.
Hmm. It'd be so easy to just say, you have to check work permits. And that would protect a lot of trafficking victims and protect producers. Because if you're a producer and you have good values, you don't want to have a trafficking victim or someone controlled by someone else, or anything illegal touching your business. So you should want to do that voluntarily, you'd think, at least. I mean, I didn't do it when I was working.
But my experience in America, people seem to be caring, first of all, because they always ask, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Big words, you know?
I think people are very... Huh? I think people are quite caring and outgoing there.
And I think it's mostly fake. It's just networking. And secondly, American companies seem to be caring way more about the models, but it's also, it's just pretending, actually. They don't really care. The only reason they care because you can sue them. In Europe, nobody is suing the way Americans sue each other.
Yeah, you can't.
So they just like seem to be more caring because they don't want to be sued, but that's it.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely have to go into that more because I think it's true. I think it's a good thing as well. So I guess let's go back to the timeline. So was there anything else that happened before you went out? Like,
It was very, very, very short conversations.
Hmm. And then
we just discussed I need to apply for ESTA and that the best time I would arrive to America is for the 2018 AVN Award.
Yeah.
And then spent maximum 3 months there.
Yeah. So at the AVN Awards, it was basically that you would be there to meet producers, drum up business, meet fans, like let people know who you are. And then after the awards, you have lots of bookings.
Yeah.
Which makes complete sense. Did you have to prepare anything before you left? Were you told like what were you told before the trip, like to bring with you or anything like that?
Not at all. I was really very short conversation. Not things were not really explained to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just the exact same impression. Just if I ask too many questions, it's a hassle for them and annoying.
Mm. Oh, so it was a similar thing to like with your European agent, like that they don't like to answer questions.
Yeah, and then I had a trust in him because he was a friend of a friend. So I didn't insist on having a billion question.
Yeah.
Just the necessary ones.
That makes sense. And the thing Derek's in trouble for is for pimping and pandering. And he's been indicted for that. So I don't know the American legal system too well, but I think that means that he has to stand trial for those crimes now. And that's in connection to him having a porn agent, a porn model agency, which is legal. But then the charge is that he also had an escort agency connected to it where you could book the models for escort services. Did you know about that before you went to America?
No.
So I guess before we get into that, once you arrived in America, like, how did it go? I guess you flew into Vegas?
Yes, that was a not smooth landing. First of all, I was super sick and I had the temperature. And secondly, they took me to the immigration office and investigated me for 3 hours.
Really? So they knew something was off, I guess.
Yeah, I fit the profile. I was a pretty young Eastern European girl traveling alone. And I prepared, I was doing a fake booking for tickets. I collected what I want to see. So I had a story. What are you going to say?
Were you told to do that?
No.
That was just an instinct. So you.
Yeah, but I heard some girls had difficulty entering.
Yeah, when they find out
but
girls are there
to work. It's not like LA Direct was so amazing that they would prepare me to do it.
Yeah, it was more chat from within the industry. Because a lot of girls, they get kicked out or they get
Yeah, so I was also super nervous entering the border. And then he made me put his address and his name into my ESTA. And the first question at the border was, okay, Derek, hey, okay, former name, Ben English, porn actor, owner of erotic agency. And I thought I'm gonna just like, please, please. I just wanted to sink in the floor.
Mm.
I just was the most uncomfortable 3 hours of my life, really. And they were questioning me that what kind of sexual services I'm going to offer to Mr. Hay. And I was keep saying, no, I'm not going to offer any sexual services to Mr. Hay.
Mm.
And then they were asking the same question for 3 hours.
So they thought he booked you rather than that you were coming there to work for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they wanted to open all my luggages. But then they lost my luggages. It never arrived to America. But then they took my phone.
Oh, they looked through everything.
Yes, and then they figured out I did escorting in Europe. So then after they were more sure that Derek is going to be my next client.
Hmm. I guess, I wonder why they let you through. Because I guess it would have been better for you if they denied you entry in the end. But
I'm never going to know.
Yeah.
And then they would just keep insisting the same question over and over again. And finally, I just told them that I am actually thinking to be an adult actress. And I'm here to visit AVN.
Yeah. You see, you're allowed to do that.
And they were like, oh, then this way. You can't believe it. And they let me in. So I found myself in America after going through the stress, being sick, and not having another set of panty.
Lovely.
I was in.
Yeah. And that was the beginning of quite a bad time.
It was very intense.
Because the AVNs is intense, even if you're there having fun.
It's super intense. And I was the deepest I have ever been because you know me, like I am not likely to have depression or bad mood.
Calling me every day, I think, for hours every day. I just felt so bad because there was nothing I could do to help.
Yeah, and I didn't want to give up because then I don't know when I would have the next time to.
Mm.
The next chance to go to America.
So when did you first meet Derek?
So he picked me up at the airport. And that was the first time. And he told me the next day I need to do a photo shoot.
And what was he like? Was he friendly? Did you speak about anything?
No, he was not friendly. He is really cold and he doesn't speak much. And he's always on his phone.
Hmm. And the photo shoot was for a portfolio?
Yes.
And so I guess what happened during the week of the AVN? How was that?
It was all right. It was fucking freezing. That was the first time me being in America. And I didn't get used to setting like 17 Celsius indoor.
Oh, because
I remember like wearing an underwear in 17 degrees.
I was saying, what are you on about? Cold? Like Vegas is quite warm, even in winter.
Not inside.
Not inside.
Not inside. So that was a bit of a culture shock. I was signing autograph at the booth, taking picture with fans.
And this is the LA Direct booth, right?
Yes. Try to get to know people, walk around, networking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And during AVN, because I haven't had my American ID, he got me 2 jobs to be a hostess at an AVN party.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was for 2 days. So that was my first and second job.
Okay. And was there anything else significant happened during the AVN week?
Mm.
I guess were you still optimistic at that point?
Yeah, but I felt the first. So he was the same as my European agent, very cold, not explaining too much. It's like you're doing it the way I say it or no. Like you cannot, you have the feeling that you cannot say no.
Could you give me an example?
And being super controlling. So he was hosting me in his house. That was the model house. But first of all, it's really strange for me, like why I'm in the same house as my agent.
First.
And he was living in this fancy private area, what was guarded. So to enter his place, I need to go through two security guard and two separate fans. So that was like a super surveillance. Like every time I had to have his permission to go to home, right? And then every time I wanted to leave the house, they were calling him. And if he didn't pick up the phone, I couldn't just leave or come in.
Yeah, and that's, and yeah, like you say, the other agents that I know of in America, they have a separate model house. You don't
live with your agent, right?
No.
So that was the first very strange, really like discomfortable.
What was he like to live with?
He was always in his office. He didn't talk much. He was on his phone 0/24.
Mm.
He was working at home. So the other two agents were there as well. And the same week, they took me to Arizona to the DMV office to apply for the American ID.
And who took you for that trip? Was it like he booked a driver or something? Or
no, one of the agents. A new girl. I can't remember her name, but she just started that time.
And then, yeah, so you say like, oh, I need an ID for, because I don't want to carry my passport around and things like that, isn't it?
I was so surprised. I asked him what I need to do. And he said, they won't ask anything.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. They don't ask anything. Like, it's the most natural thing that there is this foreigner person asking for an American ID.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why it was always Kingman, Arizona. But yeah, I drove someone there as well. And it was... was strange. But yeah, that's how everybody did it. Not everybody. Some people went through the proper channels and got work permits, the artist visa.
Yeah, well, it takes quite a long time.
Yeah, it's a lot of work and a bit of money. I think about $5,000-$6,000. Some agents insist on it, some don't.
Yeah, so my first action was to do the photo shoot and then go to Arizona, and after the AVN started. So the plan was, it takes about 2 weeks to get the ID back. And by then I would be able to shoot movies.
Oh, okay.
And I was so unlucky. So for me, it came after 3 weeks. So it was delayed. And when I opened it in the cart, there was my picture was not there. And it was just written, valid without picture. And I was like, oh, that's very strange. And I showed to Derek and he's like, no, this is not good. So then I had to go to Arizona again and reapply.
That's annoying. So you were just stuck there with no work, I guess, for a while.
Yeah, actually. So I had these two AVN shoot and somehow I managed to shoot for Blacked without having my ID, because they already booked me and I did the shoot, and I'm sure I haven't had my new ID.
I guess they just did something wrong. I mean, it's Greg Lansky, so he's not exactly known as someone that does things by the book, is he? That's why he doesn't work there anymore. So it's not like he has a good reputation.
Yeah, and also I think after, it's really hard to exactly remember because it was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah. And when my memory was fresh, I was hoping there is going to be sooner a trial against him.
I think your wish came true. Some brave girl spoke out and worked with the FBI to nail him, really. Hopefully.
I was taking part in doing the documentary.
Yeah.
But without face.
Yeah, that's smart.
While I was there, anyways.
You have spoken about this before, just not on camera before.
Not on camera. It was very, very bad. Now it feels like a bad dream, but back then it was like very traumatizing.
So take us through just how things developed. I guess AVN went well or not?
Yeah, it was kind of fun. And I'm not sure exactly when, but maybe at the first week I got there, he told me, now it's time to sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. And he gave me the exclusive model contract, and he put 5 years in it, which was so unusual, because either it's 1 or 2 years, and it in porn movie, it's kind of like your whole career.
Yeah.
So I tried to bargain with him, and he said, no, it needs to be 5 years. And I remember it was already like, I had a really bad feeling about it.
Mm. And what else was in the contract? Was there anything else that felt wrong or off?
So he also wanted to take 15% from my money, compared to the usual 10% what other agents charged.
And why was that?
And he explained to me, because, oh, you are a foreigner, so we're going to drive you to the shoots, and that's why it's extra 5%.
And did they drive you to the shoots?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Wow. I think, I'm not sure what the California rules are, but I know in the UK and in France, there's limits on the percentage that an agent can take from a model. I think in a lot of cases, it's restricted to 10% legally. So after this, I'll definitely look up California model regulations. I'm just curious if he was just taking advantage, and because who are you going to tell? You know, you're there working illegally, so he can ask for more and you can't report it to anyone.
Yeah, exactly. When I was speaking against him, like, how can I say anything when I'm not even supposed to be there?
And you always had that, like, you knew you weren't supposed to be there. Like,
yeah,
you felt that was like a point of control that he had.
Yeah, from day one, of course.
Mm.
Well, I had the confidence because it's through a friend. So yeah. I was hoping it's gonna feel a bit strange and different atmosphere, but it's gonna work out in the end.
Mm.
And then I talked to Pierre, like, hey, is it okay? Is it normal? 5 years? And he told me, like, oh, don't worry. It's okay.
Oh, so
he's my friend.
He didn't like, yeah, he just supported. Because you'd think that, like, 5 years is a long time for anything.
Like, especially in modeling. It's like,
yeah,
I turned into a MILF in 5 years in porn.
Yeah, it was like that, wasn't it? I think it's less like that now, but yeah, at the time it was very strict, wasn't it? It's like, teen as long as you can, and then MILF.
And I was in America, and you know what? Like, without him, I could not work. I didn't even have my ID. I already tried to get in touch with another reputable agency, and they just told me straight away, if I don't do anal, they don't want to deal with me.
Mm.
So then I was there, and I didn't have any choice. So then I signed and give it back to him. And literally on the same day, he told me he have another proposal.
What was that?
He told me he would give me $100 if I give him a hand job, $200 for a blow job, and $300 for sex.
Wow.
And you don't need to say anything right now, but think about it.
And how did you feel at that point?
Horrible. Because on the same day, I just signed this agreement for 5 years, and I give him all the power over me.
Mm.
And after, he tried this other.
So as soon as it was signed.
As soon as it was signed.
And you, I think just for people watching, in America, I think contracts are more strict. And it would mean that you wouldn't be able to work for any other agent. Like, if you fell out, or if he didn't like you.
Plus, he's a bully, what I didn't know back then.
He can stop you working.
But even if I legally managed to break the contract, nobody wanted to pick a fight with him.
Mm. He had a lot of power, didn't he? And I guess just on this, just his sleazy behavior, just offering you money for sex,
I don't know which one was worse, offering money for sex or offering such a little money.
Mm.
Because this is crazy, like even a street hawker would make more money than this.
And this was in LA, I guess. Oh.
That was back in Vegas.
Oh, still in Vegas.
And proposed this when we were both in his house on the stairs, casually just, oh, I have another business proposal. So me, staying under his roof.
And he has a lot of money, so he could pay.
It's a power play. It's not about like he could not pay me $1,000 or whatever I asked for. It's about it's a power game.
Yeah, and it's almost
and the control.
Like, yeah, almost like wanting to humiliate you and show you who's boss, really.
And then I went back to my room and I felt like the ceiling is going to fall on me. Like, I just didn't know what to do, who to talk to. I didn't know anybody in America. I can just call my friends from Europe and cry. But I felt so horrible. And I don't know how to decline him. But then at the same time, get on well with him and just have like a normal work relationship. Because before I didn't have this experience in Europe, I was proud that I am so honest.
Yeah, like, because a lot of girls do.
Like
have,
my job is to have sex, but I don't need to have sex with anybody to get the job. And for me, it was clear. And I felt super bad this happening to me.
Yeah, I think it's hard to comprehend how difficult a situation that must be in, how threatening as well, because I say you're in the house with this guy. It's not like he's in a different building. He got to live.
I can't even leave the house and come back without his permission. He needs to give the permission that I can leave the gate.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time I would go, they ask like where you are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would call him. So he would know every time, like when I am leaving and when I'm coming back and what I'm doing.
Mm. And it is an insane amount of control to have over someone when...
And especially like I was a 25-year-old and he was, I assume, over 50.
Mm-hmm.
So he has so much experience and power and just so much inequality between us.
Yeah.
Plus, I just started doing porn and I was, as I mentioned, I was quite picky. I wanted to manage my career and only do the things I want to do. So I didn't make so much money with porn. It was a few thousand euro per month.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to America, it was kind of a big investment for me. Just to buy back and forth ticket, it was already over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he was charging me every single day $45 to stay in his own house.
I mean, that's... I mean, at that time, I think an Airbnb would be, or like just having a roommate would be cheaper, wouldn't it? That's quite a lot of money for...
Yeah. Well, I was in America and then every single day it was $45 plus my food, plus my taxi, plus everything. And, you know, I couldn't work for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm already there, like already spent like... I don't know. I just know it costs so much money, but I didn't know exactly how much the things. After a month, I got my first balance and I almost fainted, like how much money they took from me for these bullshit expenses.
One of the complaints against Derek, one of the allegations is that he gets girls into debt in order to push them into escorting. Was it just an allegation? I think that came up in the documentary, the NBC one. But yeah, just keep telling us like how things developed.
So AVN happened and the fact that I could still not work for a long time. And I never told you this, but I eventually did it, what he asked me to.
Really?
And I never told this to anybody because I just felt so ashamed and horrible and I felt in the corner So in the end, I actually said yes to his proposal.
I'm sorry.
And yeah. Oh. I did a hand job for him 2 times. And he was telling me it's so good for me because I don't need to go anywhere. I can just walk from my room to his room.
So good for you.
So good for me. And I managed to raise 200 instead of 100 for a hand job. And this happened twice. And he is such a big asshole, he didn't even pay me for the second time.
Really?
And I felt so horrible at the time. I didn't know what to do. I was alone in America, feeling I am pushed to the corner. Signed this contract. I was hoping if I do it, then he would be nicer to me.
And did he change towards you?
No, he just got worse. So he got me one job for Blacked and one Blacked Row. And after he didn't get me any job. Or maybe one more for Comp Soda.
Now, was it just no more work?
No more work.
Why was that?
So from Las Vegas, after a few weeks, then I got super sick. So I stuck there for an extra week. And then I flew to LA to do my Black shoot. And that one got postponed because I got the avian flu when everybody got sick.
Yeah. There's a lot of germ swapping at the avians.
Yeah. Especially porn stars, they're, you know, very closey.
Yeah. I mean, I always stayed out of that stuff, but the amount of orgies I've been invited to, I'm like, no thanks. Like, I'm here to work.
Yeah. So then I went to LA, and then again, I was staying in Derek's house. That was also his house, but that so-called model's house, because he was based in Las Vegas, so he's just occasionally be there, but then he was staying in the same house. And then the same thing happened. I was still paying $45 per day, while at the same time I didn't have in any other job. These two Black shoot, the avian hostess job, and the two hand job.
And do you think companies were trying to book you?
I think yes, because used to porn were quality over quantity, and they had a few really, really big stars who would be really famous. They would tour, they go to conventions, they would do feature dancing, sign DVDs. But nowadays, they want quantity. So even if it's your first shoot for them and you are not even beautiful, they would still book you because you are fresh.
They already want new faces, wouldn't they? And yeah, you should have been overwhelmed with work because there were so many companies at that time.
Yeah, and I never worked for them before. And I spoke English, but not really. So most of the European girls, they don't really speak English. So
that's also true. And did you ask him, like, why you're not getting work?
He told me that my reputation from Europe catch me in America, and the companies don't want to work with me because I am a horrible person.
And what was the point of saying that to you, do you think?
I don't understand. I didn't understand, and I was crying every day, as you remember, that why this person agreed that he would have me and represent me. Because when I was young, when I told somebody has an agent and manager, then you are a star. And this person is working for you.
Hmm.
But it's not like that. It's like in porn, I met a lot of power-hungry people who really enjoy their little power. I was feeling like I am his little toy or pet.
I remember I met one time when I was in America, I met up with Nellie Kent and Anissa Kate, and they were staying at Derek's house. And I remember it got to about 6 p.m. and they both had to like run away and they looked scared. Like they had to get home to clean the house before he got back. And I remember—
I didn't clean at least.
At the time we were laughing about that, but it was very weird, you know, like, oh, we've got to get back for Derek.
No, it's super abusive.
And so you said it got worse and worse. And how did it get worse?
As I mentioned, from day one, I felt this like super controlling thing. And now he was just toying with me. Like, while I was there, I thought we're going to make money together. Mm-hmm. Because he only makes money if I make money, right? But it was not his best intention to get me any job. While he put me in his house and charging me every day $45 to be there. And also, the worst thing, I didn't have a key to the house. So it was, the driver was staying there full time and a few other girls, like maybe 3 or 4 fixed. And there was a black girl who I was sharing my room. So for $45, it's a shared room. And they didn't have a coffee machine in the house. And I like to have a few coffee per day. And I was doing nothing. So I was just fucking around in the house all day.
Mm.
And if I leave, then I couldn't come back.
What do you mean you couldn't come back?
Because I had no key to the house, because Derek told me he only gives key to the house to the people who sign a lease for minimum 1 year. So I was staying in the house without having a key.
And do you think that was just, again, just to control you?
Yeah. So there were a few girls who were permanently there. And also maybe there was one girl who was happy, but the other ones, they didn't get job like me. So they ended up stripping because he didn't give them job. But they had key because they signed the lease. And this black girl, she also didn't have a key. And then we were just there and she was super enthusiastic and she was telling me like, come on, you just have to show him you're a bad bitch. Come on, you have to show him you're like tough, that you survive everything. And then he is going to be proud of you. And I'm like, what? What the fuck is wrong with you? And I remember going to a party with her because I just had every day free, like open my calendar, like I'm free on Monday, I'm free on Tuesday, I'm free on Thursday. So we went out to party, but we knew we can't come back. So we left the inside garden door open. So then when we climbed the fence, then we can climb the fence and then come back to the house.
And that's an insane situation for adults to be in. Like sneaking into a place you're paying for.
Yeah, so we went to party, we came back and we were all both wearing high heels. So then I had to take the trash can, push it to the fence. And she said, I'm a girl from the hood. I can do it. I was like, cool. So I was holding the trash can. She climbed the trash can and she jumped through the fence and then she went in and opened the door for me.
Wow.
So this is how my everyday life was. And then I wake up, I would cry. And then probably I would go to the nail salon. So I order an Uber. And of course, they open the door. I close. And then, of course, I couldn't even go out in the outside door because that was also locked. But after some time, I get used to it. I just need to climb and jump through the fence.
I mean,
and I remember after some time, it almost felt like normal. So I just jumped and started walking to the Uber. And the Uber got scared, like, oh my God, maybe it's a thief or something. And he pressed the button, locked the door, and he drove away.
And these are the conditions that his models, and I guess they are his models, are living in. It's
and it's really bad.
Also like, petty.
It's very petty. It's a mindfuck manipulation. I don't know what's the best word for it. It totally worked for the black girl. Because she's like, I just need to try harder.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for her.
I just need to get his love.
I feel sorry for her. It's like an abusive relationship, isn't it? Like, I've said so many times, you can have an abusive relationship with your porn director and you can have an abusive relationship with your agents, it seems.
Yeah, so it was horrible.
Hmm.
And the next step is, I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to give up. You mentioned the name Shai Love, mm-hmm. who was also friends with Derek. And then maybe back then, at that time, they had a fallout. So she started her own agency, but she was not better at all. She was inviting Czech girls and put them to live in a trailer.
I've heard that,
for
yeah.
months.
Yeah.
And she only get them really bad jobs like glory hole, gangbangs, or stuff like they would...
And they'd be surprised
by
the work.
Most of them, they would not want to do it.
One of my friends went there and she said she was so depressed. She just stayed at home for a month. And every time she went to a shoot, they were like, oh, it's a gangbang. She's like, but I don't do that. And then we'll go home. And it was just...
I'm not saying it's... Nobody likes gangbang, but most of the girls didn't want to do it. And this is the only thing she could just get them. And I remember one of my friends, she was telling me in this glory hole scene, nothing was explained. And somehow she just realized the director just also stand in the queue to get a blowjob.
I think Shai Love had a very bad reputation and a lot of people wouldn't work with her, or maybe they wouldn't work with her because of Derek. I know on the Mike South website, which is like a porn gossip site, there are horrendous attacks on her. I don't know if the allegations against her are true or not, or if they're orchestrated, say, by Derek's fallout with her. I have no idea, but yeah, I spoke to a friend about Derek's escort agency, and my friend was like, they all have one, you know, especially at that time. So everybody has like an agency or an agency they're friendly with that they get kickbacks from. So I guess that's like the next part of the story.
Oh, I got my first balance sheet.
Oh, yeah.
After 1 month.
I've got that here as well. And what did
it... And I was in shock. So in the end, if I remember well, after doing that 4 jobs... My balance was I earned $500.
So that's what, 2 porn scenes?
2 porn scenes and 2 hostess a job.
Because they took money from you. Yeah, that was one of the allegations against him, that he...
That was incredible,
charges for
shocking.
Everything in order to get girls into debt. And so they don't make money with porn and then... Or withholds work from them. Again, to push them into...
So this stuff was just wrong from every point of view. So first of all, he told me he would... So because he takes 15%, he drives me around. But then maybe the first or second item on the list is taking me to Arizona for $350.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was just charging me for every single thing.
Yeah. It really is insane.
She was charging me for the 30-minute photo shoot to be on his website. And after, he didn't even get me any job.
Can I ask you about the AVN hosting suite party?
Mm-hmm.
What did you have to do at that job?
I just had to be a topless hostess in a party.
Oh, okay, that was it. Yeah. No, the charges are absolutely crazy. And seeing it written out that you're working, but you're not working for money. You're working just to pay his fees. It's not easy work.
And he was charging me for a flight to go to LA when that was supposed to be paid by the company.
By the production, yeah.
And I got sick. And he saw how sick I was. And then he charged me another $200 to change the ticket.
Yeah.
And after, he was guilt-tripping me that, if I were you, I would think twice if you would cancel this shoot because maybe they wouldn't rebook you. And I had a 39 Celsius temperature.
And it's like a threat, isn't
it? So it was a mind fuck from all the time, every day. And then he just told me that nobody wants to shoot with me. And then he had this other agent, Fran, who was pretending to be very nice to the girls. And then
Fran was pretending to be nice.
Yeah.
Have you seen her in the documentaries? She's like, her view of porn models is they're all whores. She even says it on camera. She's horrible.
I said she was pretending to be nice and she started whispering to my ear that, you need to try to impress Derek more. And you know, it would be really good for your career to do anal movies.
So just trying to push you into things you
don't
want to do.
Yeah, so they told me it's totally fine if I don't do. But once I got there, then I got no jobs. Kind of backed me in the corner to give him hand job, what was like a total power play to him. Then just to then not to give me any jobs and then try to push me to do something again, what I don't want to do. Anal. Right now, I really like anal and it's nice, but it should be your own decision.
Absolutely. And even if you enjoyed anal, it's okay to not want to do it on camera.
Yeah, but to be on my own terms at time when I want and with whoever I want.
Yeah.
So then I declined anal and then I was kind of already almost in minus. I was definitely in minus because I don't know how much money I was spending on my transportation, not to the shoot, but to any other transportation, to my nails, do tanning, do...
Yeah, I remember they made you change your hair color as well. They said like you have to go blonde if you want to get
bookings. Oh, yeah. Because he said my hair looks too much a street style, whatever that means.
I don't think even Derek knows what he means when he says that.
Yeah, but that was the least amount of bad, the changing the hair color. But like forcing me to do so many things and then after no job. So then I didn't have any job and I tried to do two things. One was to then, he's gonna take 15% from me if I do a shoot. And he's the one who should get me the shoot, but he's not. But I have all this time, so I try to get to arrange the shoot for myself, but it was supposed to be his job because I thought this is what a manager would do for me, right? Mm-hmm. To represent me. So then I get in touch with the people who I met at the AVM party, and James Dean was super nice. He sent me a lot of contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent a lot of email to companies, try to get in touch with them. And a lot of them got back to me and they were super nice. And most of them said, you are so nice, you are lovely, we would love to shoot with you. But we never ever work with LA Direct. And please get in touch with us when you are not with him anymore.
Wow. So, I mean, I knew he had a bad reputation because I had friends that left his agency, but no one ever spoke about why at that time. I didn't know why.
I was in shock. And he just told me a few days before that how horrible I am. Nobody wants to shoot me because I am a bad person. And then most people who got back to me, they told me they would love to. And in the end, I managed to find a few companies who said yes. We would like to book you and we get in touch through LA Direct.
Okay. And did those
bookings... So I managed to get a few shootings for myself. And of course, he was taking 15% from those ones as well.
Mm.
But still total in 3 months, I did 5 porn shoots, 5 or 6.
And who were the other companies? Do you remember?
One was a Japanese company. Who I know them from Budapest.
Lazy Momo is one.
Probably. Nubile.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had 2 shooting with me. 2 or 3. What else?
Or was it Brazzers, I think? Maybe.
No, I didn't have Cherry Pimps.
Cherry Pimps.
And that's it. And I shot a few content. Oh, he even wanted to control me. He told me I am not allowed to shoot content with anybody.
And for people that don't understand, content trade is when you have sex with another performer and you film it and you both keep it so you can both sell it yourselves. And why didn't he want you to do content trade?
It's also
control again.
A form of control. So I shot a movie with James Dean, and I guess we post a picture on social media, and then he got super angry with me. He shouted with me, and after he deducted from the next sheet approximately like $200 again as an agent fee.
He took an agent fee from from your...
So he even took more than 15% compared to what I would get for a boy-girl movie.
So he basically just took... He fined you $200 for doing content trade.
Yeah, or $250, something like that. For a scene, what I didn't even made any money with because I didn't have OnlyFans up and running. I just thought I'm just going to make the most of the time, network and shoot some movie. And I figure out the way how to make.
But even still, there's nothing in your contract that says you can't do OnlyFans or make independent content.
That was
for
a small print, what he just like told me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, casually, he just told me, oh, by the way, after signing the contract, of course, I don't want you to shoot content.
Amazing.
So as I mentioned, I didn't have any job and I already did escorting in Europe. So I asked him if he have any contact to do escorting.
Oh, you asked him for it?
Yeah, and then he told me, oh, my friend Karen and David, they are good, and I link you up with them.
Hmm.
So I met them while I was at his home, the model house in Hollywood. Not Hollywood, what's the city? Valley?
Oh, what's it called? Something Valley? And did you know it was his agency, allegedly?
Yeah, people were whispering that's his agency. But of course, when I met Karen and David, they didn't say like, oh yeah, they said it's their agency.
Yeah, but you didn't know from him. It was just that's the one he introduced you to. Yeah, he's very good at keeping it away from him, isn't he? It seems. And how did it go working there? I guess better, maybe?
In the beginning, it was okay. And they didn't give me a lot of job, but I just get super lucky because the first person they introduced me started really liking me and booked me every week.
Mm.
But apart from that, maybe they give me one job.
And just to put it in perspective, for people who don't know, like in porn, a model agency, they charge a producer $100 booking fee. They're taking 10% of the model's money. So they're not making much money at all. With escorting, the fees were a lot higher. Like a typical porn shoot is like $1,000, whereas a typical escort job is, I don't know how much. What were your fees there?
For 1 hour, I got $1,200 and I have to give them $300 back.
It's better for Derek for you to do escorting than it is for you to do porn. Assuming that the charges against him are real.
But you know what's the best? Giving you a handjob for $100 for him.
Well, that's best for him.
Best deal, yeah.
It's a good deal. And how was it working for the agency?
They pretend to be very nice, especially Dave. But they were all super controlling. And they were saying, you are exclusive to us. If we figure out you work without us, we never talk to you again and there's going to be bad consequences and you could not organize your own jobs.
Bad consequences? Was that like a threat or?
Just a casual.
And so working for them, it was similar to working for Derek?
They didn't give me so many jobs. That guy was just basically keep meeting me, and they give me one other job or two. And I remember every time I was super nervous when I had to leave the house because I probably cannot get back. And also it makes the other people hate me because every time I need to call them like, please, can you open the door for me multiple times a day, every fucking day.
Mm.
And I went out to a late night out call and I finished around midnight and I was calling all the numbers, all the girls who are in the house, and nobody picked up the phone. And I was in Beverly Hills and I almost started crying. I just went out to do a job and I have nowhere to live, so I can spend all the money I made to stay in this 5-star Beverly Hills hotel.
Wow. And did Derek have any problem with you escorting?
No, he never mentioned.
He didn't try to control that or stop you getting jobs and things?
I think he did, because suddenly Derek, Dave and Karen said, I am horrible and they never want to work with me again.
Really?
Suddenly they also thought I am a horrible person.
What triggered that?
I don't know.
Just, it's very strange. But yeah, I think the thing that comes across most is just the controlling behavior, making you feel miserable, almost just getting off on the control, I guess. Maybe getting off is the wrong word, I don't know, but certainly enjoying the control, especially, you know, when you've brought someone, when you've taken that risk of bringing someone to work illegally in the sex business, which is called sex trafficking. Like, that's just the definition of sex trafficking. I don't understand why he didn't try and make as much money as he could from it.
I also didn't understand.
Yeah, it's very complex. And
it felt like he's punishing me because I did something really bad towards him.
And what was your overall feeling? Like, I mean, did you call Woodman about this as well? Like, did he try and do anything?
I told him that it's really miserable and he's not treating me well, and he just only said, oh, I'm so sorry this happens to you. I know he's not nice to everybody, but I told, because you are my friend, I told him you are my friend, that he will be nice to you. But this is all he said, nothing changed.
See, I wonder what Woodman gets from sending girls to him, because I don't know if you saw the allegation, but in some of the court documents, it says that Derek would send models to Woodman as a punishment for not doing what they were told. So I wonder what Woodman gets from the relationship. Because he could have sent you to any agent, right? He could have said, oh, go to Mark Spiegler. He's got the best reputation, the best girls.
I went on my
own. Get a work permit.
To meet him, and he said, I am very nice and he would love to represent me, but till I am with Derek, he is not going to war against Derek.
And yeah, and Spiegler would have only taken you on if you had a work visa. He wouldn't have allowed you to work illegally. Yeah, so it's just...
Yeah, I didn't understand. And it was so horrible. I find another way to survive, and I moved out of the bonded house. I moved in with a nice girl who was at the same agency, and we are still friends still today. But it was still miserable. And then I started hanging out with a black performer, and we just had fun, and sometimes we record it, and he find out, and he started threatening him that this guy never gonna work with any of his model. And then he was shouting at me and he said a lot of racist things.
Really? What about the your friend? Wow.
So he was even controlling my private life. But this whole agency is toxic. I remember when I moved out of that model house, to my friend's house. A day later, the driver who lives inside the house asked me, "Sorry, have you seen my small white cooking pan? I'm just wondering because it's disappeared the same day as you moved out."
Again, just so petty.
It's so petty, and
like, I'm sure you're not going to steal a small white,
you know, I
pan.
Don't cook, right?
Yeah,
so that's first. But why would I steal somebody's cooking pan?
So stupid.
So then the next time I had to go to a shoot, what I got for myself, they told me that I should wait for this guy, the driver, to drive me to the testing station. And because I was so broke, I was like, okay, I just, like, all day I was waiting for him because he's coming from Las Vegas or something. So I was waiting. He told me he arrived at my house. And I said, okay, coming. I went upstairs to get my ID, went down, and in 2 minutes he left and told the agency that I was not at home. So then nobody believed me, and I had to pay from my own money. On top of, they take 15% mm-hmm. from my money, and I had to pay for my own drive to go to the testing station.
Yeah, totally insane. And it just seems like
just
all of them.
Every single person was so toxic in that whole agency.
Yeah, it seems like that whole team.
Starting from a driver. Like,
it sounds like the whole team were in on everything and obviously had their mission. Like with Girls Do Porn, that sex trafficking case, they were all in on it. Like everybody had their role in order to get them women to do porn. In Derek's case, I don't fully understand the story. I'm just seeing this one small part of it. But the controlling behaviors of all the people involved, from the driver, his other agents that work for him, even, you know, like other models in the house who are kind of encouraging you. Like, you have to wonder, like, oh, does she work for him as well? You know, you start getting like conspiratorial, I think. And
yeah, I ended up had to do stripping in Inglewood.
Mm. So that was how you got by while you were there. And the thing I just want to say personally is, I think, and why I think this is like an important interview to do, is because it shows people what the porn industry is really like. And there are so many European girls who have been sent to America and had a similar experience to you, maybe some worse, some better. And none of them will talk because they're worried about losing their visa, not being able to work there again.
And yeah, also for me, it took actually
it's taken
6 years.
Yeah, to have the confidence to speak. And it's the same situation for Russian and Ukrainian girls who are coming to work in Europe where they're coming illegally. And this position that you are in where you can't go to anyone, you're all alone. None of us have empathy for how these Russian girls feel and the situation they're in and why we always think, oh, you know, the Russian girls, they're doing more hardcore things, they're doing anal, they're cheaper. But it's because they can't say no, and they have no one to report it to when they do. I always feel guilty for the double standard I had. I always, like, when we spoke, I always would say to you, like, no, go to Spiegler, do it properly, take the time to get a work visa, because you'll be under their control.
Yeah, but also Spiegler is not a good option because I didn't want to do anal.
True,
and
true.
The famous is Spiegler girls do it all.
Yeah,
from
he only
peeing, you would be everything. Like hanging upside down from the ceiling, BDSM,
yeah.
Deep throat, like.
You're right. It's just difficult. So just the situation that people get put in is so difficult. And in Europe, including me as a producer, every producer should be checking work permit. Like in fashion modeling, they check work permits for the Russian girls that come over because they do have some values. They're not going to, you know, Gucci aren't going to want to be associated with benefiting from trafficking. In Europe, nobody checks visas. And roughly half of the models are Russian and Ukrainian. everybody's making money on the back of girls who are under the control of pimps, under control of agents, and under control of... but if after seeing this, if people don't start checking visas, then I think it's because they want it that way. You know, they want the girl that they can control. They want the girl that can't say no. But it's so disturbing, and I just hope that we can find a way to stop it in America and in Europe, because it's the same. The only difference is it's just a hierarchy, isn't it? Like, the Americans exploit the European girls, and the European productions exploit the Russian girls. It's so disgusting.
Yeah, but in the end, I am happy I went to America. It's had some horrible part, but at the same time, I met some really cool people. I made some friends from the gay industry who I was hanging out with. I am very happy I had the chance to try stripping. All my respect to the girls. It's super hard job.
Yeah.
So it's a bit bittersweet. It was horrible, but at the same time, it was such a valuable life experience, and I feel so much stronger to live through and get out of it. And then just, yeah.
I think that was the maybe tipping point where you kind of decided, okay, I'm going to do companion escort work, be independent, and this is what I enjoy.
It's really good. And also, I like to shoot my own content, but it's like 100% ethical porn. I enjoy everything what I do, when I do, with whoever I want to do on my own terms. So I'm still shooting, but it's so much nicer.
Yeah. I really like support girls being in control of their career.
Yeah, and this is something more a little bit more educational, because what you can find porn on the internet, it's more like for entertainment, but it's not really like a how-to guide.
Mm-hmm.
And I really started enjoying to do more sensual stuff, what's more educational, and this is what I would like to do in the future.
Mm-hmm. And just one final thing, because I just want to just check we covered it properly. Is obviously it's taken, say, 6 years before you spoke about this publicly.
It was really hard. And when I was like starting getting to that sensitive point, I was like, should I say, should I not say, should I say, should I not say? Yeah, it was really difficult.
And were you afraid of speaking because of, I guess, like the inner emotions? Or was it more like the fear of consequences before?
It's a lot of things. I don't know if it's gonna block me to ever go to America, and I also feel I feel so bad that somebody taking advantage of me and put me in such a vulnerable situation. You know, this is something what usually you don't put on social media or share when they are in a deep point, and I feel bad for this happened to me.
Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is it's still happening to girls now. Like, there's still, I know for a fact, there's still people going over. Less people, more people are doing it the legal way, which is encouraging, but I believe some people are still going over and having the same experience you did. So hopefully it shouldn't be too easy to stop that. All we need is just for people to check work permits.
Yeah, and we need more people to speak up.
Yeah, good luck.
So yeah.
Not many people will. Good luck with that.
But if I did it, then maybe hopefully other people will.
Yeah, you definitely inspired Ophelia, who came on my podcast after your one. And you encouraged a lot of people to speak up and provide information privately. On Rocco particularly. So it does make a difference. And I do collect a lot of information and a lot of help from people who are afraid of the consequences of speaking up. And I admire those as much as I admire people that do speak up publicly. Because I get that porn is so interconnected that I can't speak about it without identifying people. Sorry, but porn's so interconnected that for some people they would lose everything if they said something. They'll lose everything. So, but yeah, but I really appreciate you doing it. I know we're friends, but I think maybe that's maybe a privileged position for me. So I'm lucky that you, even though we're friends, I'm lucky that you trust me to tell the story.
And you know what? I tried to tell my story before even I left America, but unfortunately they didn't put me in the documentary.
Mm.
So I already tried to...
They focus on American girls, didn't they?
Maybe. I didn't know. They were said like they would like to interview me, but...
I think also the crime of sex trafficking is more serious than the charges that he's already got because of the international element. So maybe they just weren't confident with only one witness because they had five witnesses for the other allegations.
And one was living in the house with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how much she was suffering as well. She also... She was living in the house, charging so much money for it. And at the same time, he didn't give her any job. And she also ended up stripping.
Mm-hmm. I probably know who you mean, actually. Yeah, so thanks so much. I think it's incredibly brave. And I just hope we make a difference. Sometimes when these podcasts come out...
Me too.
It feels like no one says anything or hears anything. But
yeah,
we know everybody in the industry is watching. And I hope it makes them think. And I hope it makes them question their own values, because there are certain people who are being cowards and there are certain people who are being willfully evil. Like, they're part of it and they really need to look at themselves and like change, because like, they can change now or they can change when it catches up to them, because it will catch up to people.
More
producers are going to prison, so.
Thanks for providing me this platform to speak, because although it's not on my head in the everyday life and it was kind of back, but I always know it's like low-key in the back of my head that this happened to me, and I never actually told this to anyone.
How does it feel to have shared the story?
It's very liberating.
Really?
And I'm wondering how much shit I'm gonna get from certain people for speaking up.
Friends. It'll probably be directed mostly at me, so I'm kind of a magnet for hate these days, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah,